There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. No reason to get excited, the thief he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late.
All Along the Watchtower by Bob Dylan. Welcome to the Qumran Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson. This week we will be talking about the future of capitalism with our in-studio guest, K.E. of News and Letters, and From the Streets, a spoken word performance by Michelle Autry. But right now, I'm on the line with Dr. Mungo. How are you doing, Dr. Mungo?
Yes, Ishmael?
How you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Just fine. Look, Dr. Mungo, you got a very special event coming up on Friday, December the 30, 2011, at Fernando's Hideaway Cafe, which is located at 519 South Spring Street. Can you tell us about the event?
Well, it's going to be a retrospective with a friend of mine, Mike, as you've met him. We're going to reunite after about 29 years to do another project, namely building my website.
Mm-hmm.
Last two projects we worked on was Intervisions, a documentary shot by this sister in France named Sophia Raphael, and then he also done a film about Tanabe. So we're kind of getting together with, like I said, a reuniting, and we're getting together with other friends to do a respective what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or how I've changed what I've been doing, and, you know, et cetera.
Okay. Now, is this a free event?
Yes, it is a free event. We have a caterer who's going to be serving good food. We have musicians who's going to be playing music. You know, the event starts at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
But Jamal and I will be there with other people to kind of get it started, setting up at about 5:30. So 6 o'clock will be a good time to come in.
Oh, wonderful. Now, who are some of the special guests that will be attending?
We have Mona Jean Cedars.
Mm-hmm.
She's an internationally renowned spoken word artist, and Kenan Rains, a renowned spoken word artist. Hopefully we're looking to have some surprises there, so let me just stop there.
Okay. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Dr. Mungo. Why is it so hard to get artists to work together in the Skid Row and downtown area, especially the spoken word artists and musicians?
Well, I believe because it's artists not recognizing artists. Artists being jealous of other artists. artists thinking that their artwork is more important than the next artist. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we've got to overcome. We've got to realize that an artist is an artist regardless of what the artist does.
Okay, so what can we do to have these artists work together for the good of the whole downtown and Skid Row area? What do you think?
Well, one thing we can do, as you've been doing, Ishmael, is trying to put out flyers, let people know that there are avenues of artistic expression, especially in theater, spoken word, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, hey, I got three people in the studio that know you, that want to ask you a question. First of all, we're starting with K.E.
How you doing,
Dr.
Mike?
Hi, yeah. Kay.
How you doing, Dr.? Hey, I just want to say hello, and I want to hear your new poetry on the 30th. Hello.
Well, I don't know if it'll be new.
Okay.
It will be work that I've been doing for the last 20 or 25 years, but with little changes here and there.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Earlene.
Hi, Dr. Mungo.
Earlene, how you doing?
I'm good. I don't have a question, but I just want to know whether or not you're going to do Jax.
Yes, I will.
All right.
If it's a request from you personally, of course I will.
All right. Then I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've heard that the event would be canceled if you don't do Jax.
I will do Jax.
All right.
Okay,
I'm rehearsing it now.
All right.
Trying to add a little more stuff to it, you know.
Okay. Here's Tyrone.
I'm trying to keep. Hey.
Good evening, Dr. Mungo.
Hey, Tyrone. How you doing?
Quite well. I got a question for you. And I don't know if this is taboo.
Don't make it too complicated now.
No. It's very simple. And I'm just hoping that it's not taboo. Where did you get your name, Dr. Mungo, from?
Well, it's really not Dr. Mungo. It's really Dr. Mungo Kalahari Tari Boo Boo. But, you know, I would rather someone call me by the Dr. Mungo than call me Dr. Tari Boo Boo.
Okay. Well, now we know. Thank you very much, Dr.
I mean,
Mungo.
You know, it's just easier to use Mungo instead of Tari Boo Boo, because sometimes people laugh when they boo boo.
Yeah.
Okay, Dr. Mungo.
Well, thank you.
We've been making another announcement about the show coming up in the community calendar. But, Dr. Mungo, for those who would like to get in contact with you for performances, what is your contact information?
My contact information is, well, go to my email, drmungo@sbcglobal.net.
Okay, drmungo@scbglobal.net. Okay.
Yes, and that's underscored.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. Mungo. We're looking forward to the event, and you have a good evening.
Hey, and I'm looking forward to it, too. And thank you very much for calling me. And Kay, Tyrone, Earlene. God bless.
You too.
You
All
too,
right.
Dr. Mungo.
Take care.
Have a happy holiday.
Right. All right. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Now, tonight in our host corner, I would like to play one of my poems entitled "A Letter from the Dark Recesses of the Mind."
May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and your family. Yeah, I like to do a reflection this morning. I see that they deals with the heroes and heroines. I guess this, I'll be thinking about all of those people who have been tortured, and all of the people who was tortured during the Inquisition, people who was tortured during the time of the Messiah Jesus, like the Messiah Jesus himself. And so I want to read a short dramatic piece of poetry. It's called Extraordinary Rendition and a Letter from the Dark Recesses of the Mind. Yes.
Oh,
Dear Dr. Solomon, I am writing you this letter because I am conflicted. You are my mentor. I am who I am because of you. But now, Dr. Solomon, I find myself in a secret, undisclosed location, a matter of national security. They say I'm doing the right thing as a loyal American, but yet I am conflicted. I can't sleep at night because I hear the tortured screams of the victims of my work. They invade my sleep and slip into my dreams, turning them into nightmares. You told me that the best profession was to be a healer, but I heal nothing. I cure nothing. I can't stop the tortured screams that echoes through my mind. I miss the innocence of my calling, a healer and helper for humanity. I have become part of a modern-day inquisition trying to justify our so-called national security, trying to save lives but losing our soul. How would I be judged by God? Am I doing the right thing? Please help me, Dr. Solomon. What can I do to stop the voices of the tortured screams of my victims? Dear Dr. Joshua, I received your letter asking for my advice, my help in quelling the tortured screams in the innermost recess of your mind. As I mentioned in some of our earlier correspondence, I felt that your conflict came when you made the wrong choices, knowing the difference between right and wrong. I told you that those who justify torture are just as guilty as those who commit the act. I taught you to be a healer, a helper for humanity. To torture one human being is to torture all of humanity. My dear student, to torture is to play God. Do you think that you are God? Do God torture? All the wicked deeds that happened in the darkness are coming to light. That is my answer to your letter from the dark recesses of your mind. Torture. Another inquisition. Stop pretending like you don't know. Here's what they're doing. They're mad about 9/11 and they're crying for help. They are gangbanging in the desert. In the streets of Baghdad, the alleyways of Babylon, the mountains of Afghanistan. Torture, murder, kidnapping and carjacking. In the streets of Baghdad and the alleyways of Babylon. A muted voice is in a sea of confusion. Wars and rumors of wars. But the pen is mightier than the sword. And the word is mightier than the pen. They're mad about 9/11 and they're crying for help. It's your fault that 9/11 happened. Does anybody care where eagles dare? Madmen's at the control. Seeking destruction for all like a 9/11 call. A ball of confusion, echoes of the cross, the crescent, and the six-point star. Tearing up the world near and far, talking about peace. A piece of this, a piece of that. The wonders of God. Have you forgotten about that? This is a mad, mad world. This world is angry and people are going mad, seeking destruction for all like a 9/11 call, a cry for help. Does anybody care where eagles dare? This world is angry and people are going mad. People are mad at all those ex-revolutionaries who forgot about the revolution. The revolution of the mind this time. A high-tech revolution. I'm mad as hell about 9/11. Mad at the hijackers who hijacked the mine. Get high off this, get high off that. sex, money, and drugs. That's where it's at. I'm mad at the hijackers. They hijacked the prices so I can't eat. Hijacked the rent, leaving me homeless with no place to sleep. Hijackers, hijacking all the time. They hijacked the religion with idol worshiping concepts. Hijack the history books and give them to somebody else. Hijackers, hijacking all the time. It's your fault that 9/11 happened. Divided among yourself and divided from each other. Until you unify as one, you will remain under the gun. In a society that can split the atom, travel to the moon and clone a living cell, yet there is more poverty, hate, and disease than ever before. So stick your head out of the window and scream, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take it anymore. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, at this time, I would like to turn it over to Miss Earlene Anthony for our community calendar.
This is the community calendar for December and January. Friday, December 30th at 7 p.m. This is a very special event. Lakeland Production and Drama Stage Qumran present the retrospective and website lunch celebration by a poet and dramatic annunciator. This is a collection of years of work for Dr. Mungo, and he will be performing some of his best work. And all of the poets that know Dr. Mungo, we're asking you to come out and honor him. Asking you to just come out, let's celebrate, have some fun, food, and a good time. And this is a free event. The location is Fernando's Hideaway Cafe, 519 South Spring Street. And for more information, you can contact 213-784-1703. And on Thursday, January the 12th, starting at 7 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran will be participating in the Arts Walk. And this will be honoring Dr. King. We'll be doing open mic and sounding off. And also, there will be information table set up with service provider information on it. And this is located at the Exchange, 114 West 5th Street. And on Sunday, January the 15th, and Monday, January the 16th, at 2 p.m., Drama Stage Qumran will be honoring Dr. King by performing a dramatic reading of that inspirational speech, I Have a Dream, and the letter from the Birmingham jail. We'll have a special musical guest, a gospel singer, Jamila. Also, special guest panel will be discussing views on nonviolence of Dr. King's views, followed by a Q&A. And this event is located at the Exchange, 114 West 5th Street. And it's a free event, and we're asking all to come out and celebrate Dr. King with us. For more information, you can contact 323-850-4436. And if you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to dramastage1@yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. And again, our call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Miss Earlene Anthony. We have with us in the studio K.E. He is a longtime member of News and Letters, the newspaper for an organization of Marxist humanists who stand for the abolition of capitalism, whether it's in its private property or state form. K.E., welcome to the Qumran Report.
Thank you.
Okay, tell us a little about yourself, and how did you get involved with News and Letters?
After I became an activist in the early 90s, I became involved with Mothers Rock. That's Mothers Reclaiming Our Children. founded by Jerry Silva, Teresa, I forgot her last name, but, and I think Georgiana Williams. And this was an organization of mothers concerned about the imprisonment of their children on a large scale. And we used to go to court and support those that were accused and on their way to prison. And I met a person at Mother's Rock who was a member of News and Letters Committee, and eventually I went to one of their meetings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, how about tell us a little about your early life, you know, when what you grew up at, what you was doing, you know, high school and all that kind of stuff.
Well, okay, I'm born in 1935. I was born by a midwife at a house on Florence and San Pedro Street.
Mm.
And that was in those days when there were Japanese farmers around.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those that were incarcerated during World War II. Mm-hmm. I was a child. Wow. But when we came out, we moved to Boyle Heights, and I went to school there, you know, junior high school. And anyway, I became an activist, actually. You know, my ex-wife is a very progressive person, and she was much more progressive than I was during the time I was married. But after we had a divorce, I just fell into becoming an activist, and I liked it. And mm-hmm. That's been filling my life since.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Sound like you got a whole movie or screenplay coming up with that. That's interesting.
But I just want to say that in my early life, I was very introverted and very antisocial.
Yeah.
And the activism has brought, after my divorce, and the activism has sort of changed me in some way.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking about 1935, Florence and San Pedro must have been an interesting area during that particular time.
To tell you the truth, I don't remember the surroundings.
Okay. Okay, now, Kate, what I want to ask you is exactly what is a Marxist humanist? Exactly. What is that?
Okay. Marx is Raya Dunayaskaya, the founder of News and Letters Committee. I believe she coined the term Marxist humanism because of all the Marxists that were around historically and even after Marx died, they never brought the thought of him as a humanist. In fact, so many past Marxists, post-Marx Marxists, those are Marxists that after Marx died, their Marxism was a very, I would say, aborted concept of all of Marx's development. His total development of his writing,
mm-hmm.
of his and fundamental to his writing was his humanism. He believed that under the capitalist system, human relations are very alienated, and he wanted to create a society. Anti-capitalist society, a new humane society where people relate to each other and mm-hmm. to themselves as mm-hmm. as human beings the way they should be.
I think Malcolm X used to the phrase that he used to use all the time is the right. He said human rights, the right to be a human being. You know, in that context that that he was talking about all the time.
John Allen, who was a black man, a longtime member of News and Letters, he talked about humanism. But I just learned recently that Malcolm X was one of the early people that talked about human rights in the 60s.
Yes, in that context.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on a little. I went to Wikipedia and I looked up three words that really caused a lot of confusion in people's mind.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to read read the definitions, and then we can discuss each with you. The three words are capitalism, communism, and Marxism. Mm-hmm. First definition, capitalism, and the one Wikipedia say, capitalism is an economic system that became dominant in the Western world following the demise of feudalism. And so for me to understand that, I had to define feudalism. It said feudalism was a set of legal and military customs in medieval Europe that flourished between the 9th and 15th century. And the other term is communism. Wikipedia say communism is a social, political, and economic ideology that aim at the establishment of a classless, moneyless, revolutionary, and stateless socialist society. And also, they do give a definition of in relationship to Marx and Engels, but that's in the next term is Marxism, which Wikipedia defined as an economic and social political worldview and method of socio-economic inquiry that centers upon a materialistic interpretation of history. And then they mentioned the thing about dialectical materialism. Let's talk about some of these things, because I think when we look at the world today, I remember one time it used to be divided up in between the East and the West. When they think about the East and the West, you're talking about communism and the capitalism. And at one time, the dominant power was the United States, England, the Western powers in relationship to capitalism, and the Soviet Union in relationship to what they call communism. There have been a lot of changes in both of these economic systems today. Let's start off with communism, what we're talking about. Can you give us a definition of what you consider when we're talking about communism?
Well, it's communism is intended to be, as Marx wrote it, you know, he wrote the Communist Manifesto. It's intended to be as a form of society that replaces capitalism. And everything that you said about capitalism, it's an economic system. It's capitalism and communism have certain types of human relationship. Under capitalism, the relationship is alienated. Racism, as I see it, there were probably racism before capitalism, but racism under capitalism is very severe. And I don't believe you'll be able to abolish racism unless you abolish capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And classism is part of capitalism. You have the rich, the upper middle class, middle, low, and the very poor. That's different classes. And communism is an ideology that wants to get away with racism, with classless society. but these are ideas and thoughts that were developed, but communism, as it appeared in life, was not as it was, as Karl Marx wrote, you know. So fundamentally, Marxism is anti-capitalism, and it's the reason I'm afraid to I always say Marxism or Marxist humanism rather than communism is because the Soviet Union and China under Mao Zedong and North Korea that proclaimed to be communism, they were if you go deeply into Marx's writing and Raya Dunayaskaya's writing, they were state capitalism. And there's a fundamental thing that is part of all capitalism, whether it's state or private corporation. And that is what Marx called the law of value. That's in chapter one of Capital, Commodity. The law of value has two things. It's production of commodities of value. And that turns out to be, you know, money actually, you know, price, exchange value. But that... this law of value, but it also law of value is not just money. It contains money, but it also has alienated labor in production. Mm-hmm. And there were no more alienated labor in production than slavery, chattel slavery in America. And you know, Marx was well aware of the slavery conditions in America. And he made a lot of comments on it, you know. Mm-hmm. So
let me ask you a couple of things. I want to get into a discussion about in a little while. I want to get in a little discussion about Marx, his background.
But it
seems that I've always heard the concept that capitalism always needs new markets to exploit, you know, that particular economic system. I'd like for you to comment a little on that. And also, I hear a lot of comments about the fact that China and the Soviet Union, as far as the economic system is concerned, is more capitalist than they is communist, you know, especially China. Can you comment on that for us? The first one, capitalism needing new markets to exploit.
Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah. Well, of course, one of the fundamental aspects of capitalism, as Karl Marx wrote, is that capitalist production, he talks about production because production is where the labor, the worker is. And a lot of his thoughts are about the conditions of the worker. And as far as market goes, the capitalist system constantly wants to expand production, keep expanding. They don't just want to leave it where it is. They want to keep producing more and more. That's a fundamental aspect of capitalism. That's why today you see the auto industry producing more and more and more cars, the oil industry producing more and more oil, the war industries producing more and more weapons. As you produce more and more commodities, of course you're going to have more market to to sell these to.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned earlier about chattel slavery and all like that.
Yeah.
I want to look at, I want to get some thoughts on, I know slavery as an economic system, one thing that that went along with that, they had that concept that they call indentured servants. Yeah. And this is people who had accumulated debt while they was in Europe.
Yeah.
And when they brought them over to the New World,
yeah,
they had to work their debts off, and a lot of times they, a lot of them ended up in slavery. A lot of them worked along with the slavery, and most of them were Europeans. You know, it wasn't Africans and stuff like that. And I, the reason I mention that is because I wonder about when you look at capitalism during that time, and that had the free laborer with the slaves who was at the bottom, and then the indentured servants. On whether or not these indentured servants can be comparable to the middle class that we got here now within capitalism, and with the people at the bottom, especially the homeless, compared to what was happening in slavery. The people at the bottom would be the homeless, would be people in prison providing all that free labor. As a matter of fact, Michelle Alexander, she wrote an excellent book called The New Jim Crow, that in a way tried to make that connection. Do you see any validity in that, in the in that within the context of the economic system?
That there is a new Jim Crow. Yes, I have to agree with what you said, that the prison system is the new Jim Crow. Okay, you just mentioned that indentured servants from Europe, right? They work side by side with the black
with the slaves. That's the way they work their debt off.
Is that right?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
Okay. And a lot of them they accumulate a huge debt in Europe. And then so they sent them over here. The slaves and stuff, it was the free labor, the indentured servants that was working their debt off to pay off for that.
Yeah.
And I saw a comparison to what's happening now with the middle class, you know, over here, and so many of them caught up in
I don't necessarily see that relationship like that, because for one thing, today's middle class is experiencing a downward cycle of their living standards because of the unemployment.
Yes.
By the way, unemployment on a mass scale is endemic to the capitalist system, especially the free market capitalism. It's I know that state capitalism, they try to make sure that everybody has a job, you know. But as far as the Western-style capitalism, unemployment is part of it.
Okay, well, let me, before, because I want to wind down, but I want to get to one more subject that I always wondered about, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
Yeah.
It was the fact that Marx, Engels, but especially Marx, that come out of the Jewish religious system. And I one thing that they always compare to the communist philosophy, economic, is the absence of God concept.
Yeah. Okay.
And I wonder, did it have anything to do with how he came up? Did he have any kind of bad experience with the coming from the Jewish faith, you know, very religious, in terms of the whole environment? And I wonder, do you know of anything that happened to Marx that would cause the absence of God concept to be reflected in that?
First of all, the Soviet and the Chinese and the North Korean concept of Marxism, that's state capitalism, as I said, is not Karl Marx's concept. of communism. Now, he, of course, the famous quote that people quote is Marx's statement that religion is the opium of the masses.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote a lot more on religion, okay? And one of the things, I'm not that much of a Marxist scholar, you know, mm-hmm, I'm just mm-hmm. picking, I'm more of an activist, but I'm
doing a great job.
I pick some of these things up with our organization. Mm-hmm. But he wrote a lot more about religion, and he said that people, let's see, if I recall correctly, life on earth is so unsatisfying to people that they want something better. And so I'm not sure if this is a correct interpretation. You know, mm-hmm. that's why I don't want to comment on that. But I would like to say this.
Yes.
He wrote, in his early years, he wrote a bit on the Jewish question, okay? Because I believe his personal life, his father, his family, in order to survive, were forced to renounce Judaism and become Christians or something like that. That's what I if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But he wrote on the Jewish religious system, and he critiqued some of the Jewish people, but his critique of the Jewish people, they call him a lot of things after that, but his critique of the Jewish people was really a critique of capitalism, the system of capitalism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we still got a few more minutes. I want to get to one more question before we go. If you abolish capitalism,
yes.
What do you replace it with?
Okay. You replace it with a social, as far as I could, I'm just giving you a brief outline. Now, the people, the workers, and when they take power, of course, they're going to have a lot to say about how society is formed. That's the way it should be, like the Occupy movement. Mm-hmm. But what my concept is, they get rid of the law of value. Okay? That means you get rid of money. And you get rid of alienated labor. In other words, production is done by what Marx called freely associated labor. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And labor is done not only because you have to do it to make a living, but labor is done for self-fulfillment, self-development. Your developing of your mind and your physics, everything, your human development, mm-hmm. growth. And that's Marx's concept of a new society. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to head for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, Kay, thank you very much. It's K.E. of News and Letters. We hope to get you on the show again and have an in-depth discussion on these subjects.
Okay.
Thank you, Kay.
Thank you.
Now, our last section for tonight is from the Voices from the Ether portion of the show.
Hi. How you doing, Melvin?
Hey, Michelle.
Tyrone.
You're on just a few seconds early. We're supposed to have a little bit of music and another intro. Can you still hold on there in the ether for me?
Yeah.
Sure. They didn't hear me, did they?
No, you're live on you're cranking in from the ether right now, baby. So just kind of hold on for a couple more seconds, okay?
Yeah.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Well, if it's Monday night and it's about 15 minutes to 9, then you're listening to Voices from the Ether. Playing in the background, Never Let Me Go by my good friend Roger Carnes, who will be performing this holiday season at the Far Bar, located at 347 East 1st Street, and that's in downtown Los Angeles. For more information and reservations, call 213-617-9990. Oh, by the way, the event is on Thursday, December the 29th at 7 p.m. You can visit Roger online at www.roger, be careful now about the spelling, CAIRNS.com. That's RogerCarnes.com. His music's available also on CDBaby.com.
I'd be so lost if you went away.
Okay, for the census tonight, in studio, we're going to have our show's host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, and he's going to recite one of his spoken word pieces. And we're also going to play a short section from a performance held a few years ago at the Old Firehouse 23, back when it was considered a cultural center, not a boarded-up eyesore like it is today. But first, we have a voice coming in from the ether, and I hear in the control room, Miss Michelle Autry. Are you there? Michelle?
Autry.
Michelle Autry. Miss Sasha, Michelle?
Uh-huh.
Are you back with us? There she is. Okay, yeah. Michelle, you have the floor. Welcome back. Welcome back. You have about 5 to 6 minutes to go ahead and perform something for us tonight. I think you're going to perform a piece that I heard you first perform at what was the name of that place? Lost Souls. I think it was at Lost Souls, right?
That was our original plan. However, if you don't mind, I've had a slight change of heart.
Okay.
I'm going to do They Take.
They Take.
For the Land. I'm going to make a decision in the next millisecond.
Okay.
But yeah, we had originally planned to do It Could Have Been Me, which is probably my signature piece. I haven't performed that in a couple of years.
All right. So
if I could have a future opportunity, I'd much appreciate that. I'll revisit it. But if you don't mind,
no.
I just, and if Melvin doesn't mind.
I'm sure he doesn't
not at
mind
all.
Either. Okay, so you have the floor.
Okay, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Giving thanks again and recognizing and appreciating you, Tyrone, and Melvin and Erling and the Kumon, giving us an opportunity to continue to express ourselves and the Most High and drawing attention to so many concerns downtown and abroad. Just give thanks. So here we go. I'm going to do The Land. I'm going to do The Land. This land is your land. This land is my land. Is it the land that is bound to the man, or is it the man that is bound to the land? I ask this because I can, not just because I am down with L.A. Can, but because I am an American, and USA is controlled by the Klan, as in Ku Klux Klan. I have been banned because I speak the truth, but they come in, they say the land is theirs, and they want it for their use. Here they come. They come even now. I can even see some of their faces in this here crowd. Forever walking their little dogs, but the land, do they have to take it? Do they have to hog it all? They coming. They come taking that which is ours. It is not theirs. They come taking the treaties they be breaking. They come taking the land. They say it is theirs. Will they ever, ever share? Because they just don't care. They come taking, and the treaties, like I said, they be breaking. I feel like I'm in the Congo or Mexico, like the Native American raped and robbed of their land, like demons from some goddamn art. They come in packs, not just two by two or in pairs. They are devils full of greed, and their love for money is a lust upon and from which they feed. They have no care or concern about our rights or our needs. Who are they? Well, they be the gentry. They say, you are dirty, you are ugly, stinky, and skinny. We don't want to look at you. We will get paid kickbacks and raise the rent for someone else who has a little dog on a leash, just like us. We like that other side. All you others can go to hell, hide, or just die. This is for us. This is ours. That is what they say. They don't give a fuck just what man, woman, disabled, old, senior, vet, no feed or food, eat at night. They is out in the street as long as they get their greed on. This is ours. It is for our use. We want it. It is for us. We want the best. As long as we get what we want, no less, no seconds. Nowadays, there is no middle class. There is only the rich and the rest. Yet and still, they call themselves good, while some have no heat, no nothing to eat, nowhere to sleep, all because of their greed. I just don't know how they could. They have no conscience, while some sleep in boxes. Well, they say, we are all good, you're bad. You've had the same opportunities that we've had. Well, that's just not true. When Gilmore and Maryland tear them off, well, we are through. Police harass, intimidate, kill, and beat people down the street each and every day. Only the newspapers don't say it because they are told that we want to be there, and they are all bad, dirty, nasty, so you don't have to care. They are trash, all thieves, crackheads, prostitutes. Kick them out. Just get rid of them. We will pay you to kill them. We want our rooms so we can convert them into our lofts. We don't care how many suffer, just how many lives are lost. They are blocking. We must go. No matter what the cost, they must go. No matter what the cost, they intimidate because of hate. This police all-paid FBI covers up the lies just to justify the numerous homicides for the lives that they take each and every day on Skid Row, San Julian, and San Pedro. Old people, vets, disabled, some ain't got no water, no heat, won't even take their rooms or give them receipts. Just told to go out into the streets where the po-po can kill them, covering up the sin, and will kill for the thirst and the footing of the blood that will run hungry for the hunt of our flesh. They fail to feel with the great zest, and with great zest and yield, feel our souls they continue to steal. Perry, Wesson, Parks, Garcetti, is it all about the money, apparently? How can they live with themselves? If it was up to me, their souls I would damn to hell. Unless their minds they change and allow affordable housing rent to remain. Well, I will stand right where I am here with L.A. Can I vow to reclaim the land, for I'm bound to it, and it is bound to me. No, I don't own it because no one can but God Almighty. I speak for a greater humanity with no voice. Ain't got no money, so they ain't got no choice. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Justice is what we want, and fairness is what we ask. We were here first. I was here first. Equality, housing, humanity, for you, 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 yes, and for me too. This is our land. Okay? Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. That was so perfect for tonight, since our theme is dealing with the future of capitalism and the microcosm that Skid Row is, that little 50 square block area. It is definitely a picture of how bleak our future is if we're not careful. Thank you, Michelle, and we look forward to you returning from the ether again to visit us in the new year.
Oh, thank you, and happy holidays. And I just want to add a ray of hope. We can change the reality. That's where I write. It's not just to draw attention without taking action. So now let's move forward, take action, watch, fight, and pray, lobby your politicians, and be the change that you want to see in 2012. Okay, thank you so much.
All right.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. Okay. All right, and now, To back up what Michelle was talking about, our conditions down here on Skid Row and what is really going on, we have Melvin Ishmael Johnson, and he's going to recite his spoken word piece entitled Skid Row Will Let You Know.
Skid Row Will Let You Know. You gotta watch yourself on Skid Row. Because Skid Row will let you know. You'll be down in the dumps before you know how to stay afloat. Stay strong in spirit, body, and mind. Keep the mind clean with positive thoughts. It starts with the spirit, the indwelling being. The indwelling being will guide you on your journey through the physical material world if you listen. After the spirit comes the body. It is the temple for the spirit. Modest clothes to cover the body, a place you can call home. And home is your space as you travel through the physical material world. If you want these things, then want them for others. Real love is wanting for others what you want for yourself. Helping yourself by helping others. Give and you will receive. That's why Skid Row will let you know that it's just a temporary condition. A twist of time make you strong in spirit and mind. Skid Row, don't you know? A depression is right at the door. Let them know, Skid Row. What are you trying to do? Adjust to this madness? Or are you just marking time, waiting on the madness to adjust? Skid Row would let you know, a spotlight turned on history. The legend of uncontrolled greed at the expense of those in need. Skid Row would let you know how to stay afloat. Religion on the run, robbers without gun. Skid Row would let you know, if you listen, get up off the ground. The next generation is still around. They need you. Ask them for plans that are sound. Get up off the ground and help the next generation save a failing nation. Things are hard and money is tight. You don't even know where you are going to sleep tonight. But there's one thing for sure. There's a message on Skid Row, and the message is Skid Row will let you know how to stay afloat. Thank you.
Thank you, Melvin. In our closing moments, since we learned that it's not about hitting things on time at 9 o'clock, we're going to close out with a selection of pieces that were recorded at the Old Firehouse 23 back in 2008. Our first artist is Miss Sarah Cruz performing Sisters of Illusions.
Let them as they come, teach yourself, go ahead.
Our next performer will be Abraham Saba as he performs The Flower. This is a favorite of Melvin's.
It's been a blessing to meet. When my mind wanted to quit, I found harmony just from being here in a room with windows and one ear. The pencil is exhaling with joy. The words come jumping once more. My freedom reaches out the door when once was broken as a whore. I find tears on the wall. The people are hurting you all. Can't stop what I have to say, even by counting 0 to 10. Tell me truth, I shall eat again. The cake of love is cooking within. At home, no one. At home, no one. My body frozen, not of cold, but of daring an ache of miserable pain. So worth it, I can die again. Shine, my graph, shine, the graphite, shine. The sun won't mind if your name survives a load of words. Just to sit down, take a breath, and relax again. I just love you in an instant. I just love you away. When I'm leaving, there's no one to stay. I just love you in an instant, I said. Something grabs me, and it's life itself. If I let go, what is there? When I let go, I come back. When I come back, I'm gone. All together there, all nowhere here. Me, my pen. Pen, my body. Body, my life. Life, my ties.
All right. Very quickly, I know somewhere out there on the road at a truck stop, there's a new friend to the Qumran Report. Her name is Lisa Groves. She is the founder of Veterans Connection Incorporated. I just want to give her a quick shout out because I know she says she's going to stop at a truck shop and listen to our show tonight. She's on her way to Washington, D.C. to take a tour of the White House. She was invited to go there. She's doing a lot of good things on the East Coast, and we definitely look forward to having her on part of the show in the new year. That wraps it up for the Ether section of the program tonight. We look forward to returning from the Ether with new poets and new things to say in 2012, as long as the world doesn't shake apart by then. Melvin, back to you.
Okay, I would like to thank K.E., Michelle Autry, Dr. Mungo, and a special thanks to Jeremy and the Skid Row Studios. You can check out our past shows of the Qumran Report on iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, or www.dramastage-qumran.org. Please join us next week for a retrospective look at our past 15 episodes of the Qumran Report. Thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report, and I leave you with the song that opens the show, All Along the Watchtower, by Bob Dylan. Great.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and